We are going to continue on this subject of unity, and I'll tell you why, because it's so needed, not only in our church, but in our home, in our individual lives. Amen to that. Now, Holy Spirit, you have instructed me on what I'm to say and what I'm to do today, because you run and in control of this place. And so I commit everything to you today. I submit everything to you today, and I ask you to give me supernatural recall of scriptures that I might not even have in my notes today. I ask you to anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see, our heart and our mind to comprehend and to understand what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to say this morning. Holy Spirit, I'm totally dependent upon you, because without you, I can do nothing. And so we are dependent upon you. We don't ask you to anoint your word, because it is already resident there. But so anoint our hearts and our minds today. And Lord, as Mary did, she sat at the feet of Jesus and she learned. And Lord, may we ever, so often, many times, maybe once a day, sit at your feet and say, Jesus, what are you saying to me today? And learning to hear from your voice and allowing your word to change us, because we are radically being changed. And Lord, I ask you now that you just anoint my lips to say what needs to be said. And I give you praise. And everybody said, amen. Psalms 133, 1 through 3, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like, everybody say it is like, the precious oil upon the head, the running down on the beard, even the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commands blessings and even life forevermore. I said in the last session that there are two subjects that we covered last week, and we need to pay close attention to what is being said here. The one word was unity. The other one is life forevermore. And I want to take a step further into this series by stating, and I've said some of these things last week, and it needs to be reset again, that the Holy Spirit is making an effort in the church to introduce us to our own hearts. Introduce us to our hearts. And I say that because many of us do not even know our own hearts. Because for years we seem to be in a semi-state of deception. Come on, church. With regards to ourselves. We are constantly looking and finding excuses to justify our actions. And basically because we have a hard time in dealing and facing us. We don't like to do that, because many times we don't like what we see. So we have a hard time in that. And the Holy Spirit is constantly laying his finger. I don't know about you, but in the last few months, out of the last couple of years, I would say that the Holy Spirit laying his finger on areas of our heart, making an effort to arrest us. Arrest our attention over the status of this heart. I made a statement last time that while the Holy Spirit is our comforter, and he is, of necessity, he must come often to discomfort us before he can comfort us. How many of you know that we are in a constant change? And if you're not changed, being changed or changing, then I want to question your salvation in Jesus, because when we get born again, we are constantly being changed. Even little children, as we're ministering the word to them, we will begin to see changes. Amen? And by that statement, I mean that he simply attests to the status of that heart. He arouses you, number one. He awakens you, number two, of who you are and where you are in your walk with God. And those dealings of God with us, those times are very frustrating. Can you look at your neighbor and say, that's a fact? You know, it is not at all comfortable during those times, because he will shake you. He's going to stir you. He's going to comfort you all at the same time. Amen to that. I told you last time that if you are anything like your pastor and you're honest about it, a lot of people don't want to be honest about it, you would soon he come and applaud you, but unfortunately, that is not his ministry. But he will come and he will present Jesus as the answer to your dilemma. Remember, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, but he is a revealer. Everybody say revealer. He's revealer of confusion. He reveals the confusions of your heart, confusions that is in the chambers of your imagery, confusion in the way that you act, confusion in the way that you walk, confusion in the way that you talk. How many of you know there's things come out of our mouth as Christians that grieve the Spirit of God? Come on, look at me. You know what I'm talking about. Let's don't get holy here. The way we present ourselves, our body actions, our reactions. Amen to that. You think the way you receive, the way you think, the way you receive things, the way you perceive things that are going on in your life. He does reveal the confusions of your heart for one reason. And listen to me now. That many times we grieve the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to know that when that happens, hear me, church, this morning. He does not do that to push us to one side and leave us, but he will take 500 stances or roadblocks to detour you and turn you around. And all changes begin to come. And before long, he will begin to change all the confusions and he'll bring his peace. Amen to that. Because he desires to excel us forward, and he does have a plan and he does have a purpose for our lives. Can you say amen to that? For he is to say to us, he says to us, I want you to hear your father's heart. I want you to hear my heartbeat concerning you, concerning your advancement. I'm going to grace you to full maturity and the desires when you allow me to change your direction and submit your plans to me. We've got so many plans. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. We got to do this and we got to do that. And God says, wait a minute here. Wait. If you'll submit your plans to me, I will work it out to where no confusion comes. If you'll submit your heart to me and your ways of doing things to me, I will do things in your life and I'll work out things you could never work out. Amen to that. See, that's all he said. I want you to let go of the old traditions, the old legalism, the old ways of doing things. He said, let it go because I am moving fast. How many of you know the Spirit of God is moving fast and breathing fast in this United States of America and on this continent? And we are ready to move at the sound of, he said, at the sound of my voice. I want you to be ready that when I speak, you will step out and move and you're not going to debate it and wonder if it's me or wonder if it's not. You're going to follow what God is saying. Amen to that. I have said so many times that we are in a different season of change in our lives. And it is like starting all over again. I don't know about you. I'm 75 years old. And the road that God is taking me and bringing things out of the archives, I thought, I got this. You know, I don't have to read. I can step up there and I can just, I've taught this before and it's just going to roll out. But you know the amazing thing, when I sat down and began to put everything on paper again, I'm finding, wait a minute here. Wait. You're changing things. It's different than it was 20 years ago. It's different than it was 10 years ago. He is adding some new things and he's saying, wait a minute. During that time, that ark that was there, you traveled with it. Yes, but now I'm doing a refreshing. I'm doing some new things. And in order for you to get in the flow, you're going to have to flow with the way I'm doing because the ark is moving. Amen to that. So I have come to the decision that this is a season of whether you're going to get in, get out, or get run over. One of the two, huh? Because God is serious about us walking in unity. Amen to that. This old bit, well, I don't want to sit next to you because, and I don't like you because, and, you know, I don't like, you know, here Bear comes in and he's got all these tattoos and I don't know if he really loves God or not. I mean, you know, all these tattoos and you've got Tim with the long hair. I don't know, you know, what the Bible says about things. We get to get out of that old tradition. Or we have them come in and look like they've been baptized in 10 gallons of lemon juice. They don't even have no joy. And you wish that they'd go to the back of the church and put a carton in front of them and stand there, sit back there and learn what God has to say. Then when they can put a smile on their face, they can come out and say, you know what? I got joy. Amen. Because they got delivered behind the curtain. Who said wow? Bobby, don't you sit over there and say, that's me, because I know better. So we need to allow God to refine us and heal us. And then that to refine us, I mean, I could preach for 2 or 3 weeks on the refining fires of God. Get us out of all this old fleshly works. Well, I can't help it, Pastor Penny. You know, sometimes this thing just comes over me. And my flesh just get out of whack. I just don't know. All of a sudden, I get so... God says, get out of that flesh. Let all the offenses go. And let all the bitterness go. And let all of our excuses go. So I've said to many, okay, we've missed God at times. Okay, we have failed God at times. Okay, we have been mad at God at times. Okay, 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 okay. But now there's a new season. Get over it. You get mad at God, you're mad at the wrong person because he's not going to stand up there and stroke you. I will guarantee you that. He's not going to say, well, darling, I understand why you're mad at me. He's going to say, you better let it go because I'm not your problem. You are. Well, my husband, well, my wife, they're not your problem. Well, the devil made me do it. No, the devil's not your problem a lot of times either. It's just your old stinky, smelly flesh that don't want to submit under the things of God. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I know she's talking to you. I've been praying about you all week. Okay, so you've done all those things, huh? Okay, so we've thought all those things. Okay, so we've acted all of that. But number one, have you repented? Well, it seems like I go to God and repent to him 24 hours a day. Good. Eventually, it's going to catch on, huh? I mean, you repent from the heart. I'm not talking about lip service. I'm talking about from the heart. Then allow the Holy Spirit to finish the work he has started in you. Amen. Allow change to come the way he wants it to come in your life. And change is not always easy. See, I want you to change. Huh? I want you to change. I can see all the faults in you. But for me to change, you got to be kidding. I mean, I got to change. Well, you haven't changed. So why should I change? Boy, there's a lot of grinning going on here. It's awful quiet in this church. See, I want everybody to change. Because after all, I have been so wounded and so hurt and so bruised and so beat down and so talked about. And nothing seems to go right my way. And I just don't understand. God said, keep on whining and see how far it gets you. Huh? God said, it's grow up time. It's advance time. Amen to that. Then allow the Holy Spirit. See, we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to bring change the way he wants it. And I told you, change is not always easy. But in order to change, in order to make it to heaven, you better change. Huh? Because God is a God of countless and endless change in regards to us. I've constantly said, and I thought about this so many times, you know, I had some good teachers. I had some real good teachers, and they weren't soft teachers either. I had one person tell me one time, well, you know, you need to have a little bit of love, and, you know, you're just too much, a rough love, you know, and a rough love. And I said, honey, we live in a rough world. We're facing a mean devil that influences our flesh. Come on. I ain't got time. Well, it's just tough love. Sometimes pastor has a very tender heart toward different ones that are struggling. But when I get to the place and through the Holy Spirit, I see the enemy coming along and beating you up. If you don't think I'm going to come to you and say, honey, I totally understand, you know, how you feel, darling. I just, you know, let me rock you and give you a pacifier and just get up in my lap. And, you know, you just come on, darling. I just totally understand. Absolutely not. I'm a general and I was called to be a general. And I'm going to stay a general. I'm going to come along and say, you better get back in rank or you're going to get killed. And you're bigger than that. God's bigger than that in you. Amen to that. See, I have constantly said, Lord, I want to be just like you. How many's ever said that? Huh? But when God speaks to me, and he said this to me, he said, Penny Baker, my daughter, you and I are incompatible. And I am not going to change. Huh? Come on. So when I reevaluate the answer he gives me, that does not leave me much choice, does it? But one thing I am learning as I'm growing up in God. You say, but Sister Penny, you've been in the ministry for 30-something years. Doesn't matter. I don't care how big of a pastor you are, how big of a church you are. I don't care how big of a church you have. I don't care what seminary and cemetery or anything else you've gone through. You are still growing. Amen. We're still growing until Jesus comes. I'm still a student of the Word, like Dr. Hilton Sutton said, and that went to home to be with Jesus at 85, 86, 87, right in there. He said, I'm still a student of the Word. When we get to the place that we're unteachable and you can't teach us nothing else, honey, I don't want to hear anything you have to say, because we are growing and we are learning. Amen to that. And so the thing that I'm learning as I grow in God is to anticipate the revelation of God to my heart, and subsequently the revelation of my heart to myself. I'm also learning in my growth in God that he is constantly challenging me and moving me toward maturity through his word. So as I said last week, it's advanced time. If you didn't get the CD, you need to get it, because God, there's some good word. And give an extra copy to Sister Lynette, because she slept halfway through. And so it is advanced time. And now you are ready to move forward. No matter how old you are you listening to me? We're ready to move forward. And trust me, he has a way of bringing us together to where we will walk in unity with others and find yourself walking, if you're not careful, if you don't want to unify and allow God to bring us into unity, I'll guarantee you, you'll walk by yourself. Are you listening to me? You'll walk all by yourself, all by yourself, all by yourself until you get with his program. And the Lord said something to me. He said, I see, my daughter, that you stem to shy away from those who have an independent spirit. You know, they're an island unto themselves. Well, I have my ministry. Well, wonderful. Then take that my ministry and flow in to what God is doing here. You know, I have my ministry when I travel too, but I sure come under Dr. Hilton Sutton. I sure come into to Iverna Compkins. I had generals over me. I had people under me that were teaching me. And because Iverna said one time, she said, don't get too independent. She said, you might be independent from God. Don't get too independent, huh? So let's look at this again in Psalms 133, 1 through 3, as we recap some things here. There are two words that I brought out last time, and one is unity, and the other one is life forevermore. Now look at verse 1 again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. And that is the key word for this whole verse. That word dwell is a Hebrew word, which is pronounced Yashem. Everybody say Yashem. Now I know we did this last week, but we are going and to recap what God is trying to say. You need to understand that just because you get in here and you read this, if you don't take that one word, can change the whole context of that scripture. Amen. If you do not know how to study. Dwell is a Hebrew word, Yashev. That word Yashev means to be melted into one by the fire. And this melting has to be done so it will bring us into unity of oneness under Christ. And this melting time that you have to go through will have imperative struggles. When God begins to turn up the fire in your life, you're going to go through struggles. People think, well, now that I'm born again, I'm not going to ever have another problem. Bless God, I'm just going to go through this whole thing and praise God. Trust me, the imperfections in us, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you're going to watch him, because he's going to turn up fire. Amen? And it will be the kind of struggle that God is saying, hey, it's Yashev time. I will take all the metal that this body is, all the metal of what you are, and melt it so that you will flow in oneness with your brothers and sisters in this place. Let me tell you, give you a case in point. Brother Gary came and joined himself with us. He's a pastor. He had a church. Come on, now listen to me. He had a church. There are those that are going to come in here that have had been a pastor at one time, that had ministries at one time. But Brother Gary and Sister Lily, they come in and they said, we're right under you. Whatever, we're going to flow right with you. Amen. He did not exalt himself and say, well, you know, I've been a pastor, so I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. No, no, no. Just exactly the way Hilton Sutton did, who pastored big churches for a long time, came under a real young pastor of about 35 years old. He said, that is my pastor, and I'm under. Do you hear what I'm saying? And what he asks me to do and tells me to do, I'm going to do. That's not control. It's a simple fact that that young brother, God put him as a pastor there, and he's responsible. And those that come in that have ministry should fold right in or to advance the church, amen, cause it to grow, amen to that, and not be set into their own little agenda. So God is saying, I want to yashev you. I'm going to turn up the fire. I'm going to melt you together. I'm going to bring you together. And no longer will you be able to separate those matters. When God begins to mold and shape us together, they're going to come in, and when they see me, they're going to see you. When they see you, they're going to see the church. Amen to that? And they're going to say, oh, that's the Gathering Place Fellowship. Not that's Pastor Penny's church. No. This is not my church. This is God's church. And just because he's given me the responsibility to oversee this and set me in here, I have the responsibility under God, under the Holy Spirit, that if you step out of line or anything is going on or you're being attacked, I have the right as a pastor to say, wait just a minute here. That ain't going to happen. Amen to that. And then we flow together. And a lot of times, and let me clear up some things. It needs to be on tape. There's going to be people come in that's going to take departments. Huh? That's going to be their ministry. Whether he's a Bible teacher on Wednesday night, or Sister Lily takes the women's ministry once a month, or whoever takes the children's church, or whoever, you know, that God brings in, Sister Lynette, once she wakes up, Sister Lynette, she's got the kitchen back there. Come on. And those are helping. Sister Chris, she takes care of the communion. Different ones come in and they take a responsibility and they take a job. Okay? They have the responsibility to come and report to me things that they need. I don't come and say, Brother Gary, you're going to preach this. He should be able to hear the Holy Spirit. He don't have to say, is it okay if I preach that? I just. No. The men's prayer breakfast. I just want to know what's going on. I'm the pastor here. You don't have to give me detail. I had one person come and say when they wanted to know what I wanted, what they could do here. And I said, well, I need a secretary. And there are a couple of things I need. But you come and say, you know what, where can I help? What can I do to help? And then report. Sister Lily will be coming and saying, Sister Penny, this is where I'm going to go on this. What do you think? I'll say, great, go. You know? Now, I don't want her to get wacky out there and, you know, start, you know. Never mind, I better not go there. And I know she won't. Are you getting some out of this? Do you understand what I'm saying? So God wants to melt us together, and when this heat is turned up, it will be so hot that it will burn out all the imperfections, not only in us individually, but corporately. Amen to that? Because the Holy Spirit wants us as a corporate unit. Turn to your neighbor and say, a corporate unit. A corporate unit. And he wants us to be able to move out in dynamic power. Amen? He wants all that dross to be burned up out of us. Amen to that? Because there is coming in this season. Listen to me. Here's what the Holy Spirit said while I was preparing this week. He said, there's coming in this season a fresh awakening of holiness and an awesome respect unto our God as never before. Amen. Now, we're not talking about how you dress. As long as you don't come in a bikini, you know, you're all right. You understand? God is not interested about the outside. He's interested on the inside. And when the inside gets clean, the outside will automatically take care of itself. Yep. Amen to that. Are you listening? So we're not trying to get religious. And if you want to wear your Seahawks shirt, you go right ahead. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean you're going to win. And I said, and I had to put that dig in there, Jolene Gordon. Listen, I thinking about this yesterday. We've got to have the Seahawks win today, and I'm going to tell you why. Because my husband gets in a good mood. My son-in-law talks to me normal. My daughter gets really happy, you know. And it just brings a spirit into the place of peace. You know, I mean, Now, we're not going to stop a service in order for the Seahawks to run through the service. And if you don't have something that's got it where it's, there's churches that are totally setting out. I mean, they are shutting down today. Well, it's already on the news because, huh? They're showing it on the big screen in the church. And then during halftime, they'll go preach. Yes, Brother Jim. It better be good. Do the wave. I said before that if you've not felt this heat of the Holy Spirit as a fire is turned up, honey, you better hang on because it's headed your way. Amen? Because he will not allow things in this sanctuary in our lives to go on. Because let me tell you something, if the heat is not turned up and you've not changed, you're not going to be worth your salt. Not going to be worth your salt. And we are salt and light, huh? So there's going to be a strong searchlight, the Lord told me, to be turned on the inside, that many will be shocked at what is being revealed in their heart. I took this out of some of my notes, and God said, no, you stop right there. I'm going to tell you what to say to the congregation. I said, but God, I've got everything already here that I preached to you. He said, no, you take it so far, and then you tell them what I said. He said to me, because the Holy Spirit is a revealer. Amen to that. Then he adds the second word as precious ointment is what he's after here, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. Of course, it's signifying total consecration of holiness. Amen to that. Now listen, I'm putting those pictures up there because I want you to understand, where's the pictures of the priest? I don't have time to go into the precious ointments of the priest, but when they were dedicated, they would pour the oil from the top of their head all the way down to their feet. If you want to know how gucky that is, I've had it done. Where I was anointed and the oil was poured on my head and it went all the way down. And I imagine when that happened to David, he goes, yuck, you know. But they're signifying an anointing. And that's what he's after. That ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment, signifying concentration and consecration. Not concentration, you have to concentrate too, but consecration to holy service. Amen. And man, that alone will preach by itself. Then he's after the number three, verse 3. It is like the dew of Hermon. Now follow with me here. As the dew that descend upon the mountain of Zion, Mount Hermon was a tap source of water for the Jordan Valley. And it is the highest mountain, basically, in that region. And it's snow covered all year round. So in the hot of the summer, in the hot summer months, the winds would tend to blow across that Mount Hermon and blow over that arid desert region of the Holy Land, and the dew at night would fall over the Holy Land, and all the greenness that is there is because of the dew that fell from Mount Hermon and is a life-giving source of that arid desert region. So he said, what it's saying here, what's being said here, it is like all the dew, it is like the refreshing time, and this fire that is going to be turned up in our lives will purify us. Come on, it will purify us, it will refresh us, and make us fruitful. That's what it means. Are you getting something out of this morning? So you're going to have to let me teach this morning. So the refreshing of the anointing and the fire will unify us and make us richly fruitful. Until the fire of the Lord, Holy Spirit's been turned up, you're not going to be worth your salt. Because God said, I'll tell you what I'm after. I'm after hearts. I'm after the fruit in your life. And I'm going to turn up the fire, and I'm going to burn out all that junk inside of you. So when you step out there to minister to some words, the words just flow. It'll be like rivers coming out, and it'll flow and flow and flow. And you can't stop it. I know how that is. Don't get me started, because I'll go on and on and on. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Kyle? And he'll say, I got to go now. I got to go in a little bit. You do? Well, hold that point there. Let me add this also, that these verses is used by David to describe the joy of sitting together in unity, and said it is pleasant and precious. With the anointing perfume and the fragrance of the Holy Spirit that falls on him, it's like the dew from a mountain on the hills of Zion. Man, that is pregnant with some revelation. And it is after they allow the heat to melt them together into oneness. Unfortunately, and the Lord said to me, unfortunately, unity is not always found in the church. I said, yeah, but it should be, huh? Because there are people who cause division as they disagree over unimportant issues. Listen. They get into a debate over things that are not even important. Amen to that. And it will create all kinds of attitudes in the church. And honey, God will be number one after your attitude before he's after anything else in your life. Ask me how I know. I'm not going to stand up here and preach to you. You know, well, pastor must not, you know, she must, no. You don't live with me. Yeah, but pastors aren't supposed to say that. Oh, yes, they are, because they're just as human as anybody else. And I have struggles just like you do. Some of them might not be as great as you, because I've conquered them over, you know, after 70-something years, you learn to conquer something. Or it'll conquer you. Amen to that. Because your attitude, and hear this, your attitude is a window to your character change. Huh? And our character is a struggle for us, but to change your character, he's got to get a hold of your attitude. Now watch closely. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. That word there changes the whole meaning of this scripture. It is a Hebrew word, sham. Everybody say sham. Now, I told you last week, it does not refer back to Mount Hermon. Hermon is the location. But the word there refers to a time. A time element in your life. When Yashev time, when God turns up the fire and melts his people into unity. Here's what he's saying. For there. Everybody say there. For there at that time, God commands the blessings, even life forevermore. And that is where the blessings start. And the real life begins. Praise God. When he turns up the fire. And he said, now at that time, there at that time, because you've allowed the fire to be turned up in your life, there at that time, the blessings are going to come and life forevermore, because you've tapped into the source of the valley. Listen, church, I'm saying this again. When Jesus becomes awesome in our lives, when he becomes awesome in our homes, when he becomes awesome in this church, there's going to be such a mighty move of the presence of God in this place that people are going to seek out. They're going to hear about us. They're going to hear about us. And they're going to come in, they're going to get saved, and they're going to get set free. Isn't that right, Brother Tim? When our eyes are constantly upon him and not on our problems and our finances, or if someone likes you or don't like you, or if they approve of you or disapprove of you or not, there will be such a mighty revival in us and in this place. Revival's got to start here first. You understand? It's got to start here. We've stood and sang this song, Change My Heart, Oh God. Make me ever pure. Do you realize what you're singing? Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Do you understand what that says? You're asking God to purify you and strip you and change your way of stinking thinking into good thinking. And when we allow that Yashev time to come and God begins to restore us to us, there at that time and revival hits this place, I will guarantee you no devil will dare step in this place and be able to hang around for very long because something's going to give. So when God begins to melt and mold his people together into one unit, and he will, all those struggles, all those readjustments, all that reprogramming, all are in times and seasons of our lives. And you can count her down. You can just mark it on your calendar that our God is dead serious about the business of melting and energizing his kingdom in our midst. Amen to that. Or he would never say, he would never do it. Always remember that his judgments are never for our loss. They're always for our good. So we need to be attentive to the fact that when God begins to reveal to us our hearts and our lives, there's something in that comes as kind of uncomfortable circumstances. He will create something that is said that will tick you off. In other words, you become ticked. Now it's testing time. Well, I don't get ticked. See, we have a nature in saying, well, I have my rights. I mean, I'm not a doormat, you know, and nobody's going to take advantage of me, bless God, forever. I remember when God, this is some time back. I don't know if you've heard this story before, but I'm going to tell you. Anyway, refresh your memory. I was traveling, had a 42 fifth wheel, and I was traveling all over, and I think Jolene was with me. She was little at that time. Well, not real little, but she was with me, and I was going across, and I was going into Louisiana, and I had taken one of the girls that for training. She's a pastor's wife today, and I took a lot of people training, you know, that went out on the field and training, and so I've got this big 42-foot fifth wheel, whole thing 52 foot. And it's just a home on wheels. And so I had to be at a revival starting that Sunday. And I've got my boots and cowboy shirts and everything on. And so I step out of the truck. And I'm already like this because of Sunday morning. And I've got a week's revival at this Louisiana place. And nice church. And so I pulled in to get propane in the tank because that's what we lived off of out there. I pulled in, and the propane tank was back over this place, so I had to back out with that long rig over a highway. And naturally, I had my name, Penny Baker Ministries, across the side of it. I was so proud of that thing, man. I was Penny Baker Ministry, you know. And so I'm starting to back out because I have to turn that big rig around, turn around and back it in to call the propane tank was on the right-hand side, and that's where the big tanks were. So I'm proceeding to back out. All of a sudden, about halfway into the big intersection, this car goes, almost hit me. My rig that said Penny Baker Ministries. I got ticked. I was so mad. I backed that thing in. I pushed it in gear and I shoved and backed that big old rig in. And I'm sitting out there. I mean, and when they went by, I said, you almost hit me. And the woman passing by, I think she gave me the finger. I don't know. Just now. Well, that made me even madder. Now, don't look at me and go, because I know you talk to cars and all this. Don't hand me that. And so I finally got it up, and he's putting protein, and I'm standing in the front because they yelled something at me. Something at me. And so I didn't hear what they said, and I'm standing out there. I thought, just let them come back. I'll clean their clock. Mm-hmm. I'll give them a word. Oh, yeah. They'll hear from me. They almost hit my van. It almost hit my beautiful, they said, Penny Baker Ministries. I mean, you know, I was just really mad. And the girl that was traveling with me, she goes, she never seen me that way. Because I was holy, you know. Till somebody almost hit my rig. All of a sudden, this car pulls up. Because it's hot in the summertime. And the windows are up. And they pull up and the window comes down. And they go, oh, Penny Baker. You can see they're like, Penny Baker. Oh, and their eyes get big and they roll them. Oh, Sister Penny. I'm sorry we almost hit you. She said, I just want you to know that we've been waiting for you to come to our church for years. And I'm so glad you're coming. And we hear that you're going to preach on how to keep your flesh under control. And our church needs the help. And I'm going, oh, that's nice. Oh, yes. Hey, praise God. You know, and the Holy Spirit goes, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But see, they didn't see me get mad. Now, you get to the church and they go, we're so glad you're here. We were the ones that pulled up, you know, and we're so excited because our church is in such a mess. And I thought to myself, mm-hmm. And the Lord Holy Spirit said, uh-huh, and you are too. Come on, let's get real. When God shows us our hearts and we react in a way that we shouldn't, our old nature jumps up and says, God, I don't have to take that from anybody. I'm not going to talk. I'm not talking about physical abuse and verbal abuse. Man, there's enough of that going on between husbands and wives and people in the church. Abuse is abuse. See, people always want to pull God into their attitude. Listen, when we react under pressure, trust me, we will. Turn to your neighbor and say, yeah, I understand. That's many. And it shows up in our attitude. And we act like we shouldn't. God never has to show up at the scene and ask what happened. Huh? How many of you know you're no surprise to God? He already knows what you're going to do. But he will allow that thing that has hindered you to come and be revealed in a way that it will expose all the impurities in your life. Are you getting something out of this morning? Oh, yeah. And in your heart and your soulish realm, because you know under pressure, your faith life, your character, your attitude, your walk and your talk is forced into the open, huh? To show the true colors of who you really are. So when we begin to react, when we get frustrated and under pressure, when the flesh begins to speak out of control, it will be at that time that we will begin to reason our actions away and we make excuses for our reaction. And try to justify why we did and said what we did and why we did and said what we did. Huh? Also finding out that at that time, the Holy Spirit, you've just grieved him. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Amen to that. And God comes along on the scene and says, I want you just to settle down and chill out. Now I'm going to reveal to you the quickness of your mouth and the stampede of your heart. I'm going to show you how you react under pressure as I turn up the fire. So your reaction, he's going to turn that fire up. I'm almost ready. I'm almost close, but I got to get this down because I'm going to send it to a couple that needs it. One person that needs it. My husband. No, my husband doesn't ever. Talking about the quickness of our mouth, I'm reminded of a story, and I was thinking about that yesterday, about a parrot who always sat in the entryway of this pet shop. Very well trained, and he was having a very bad day. He wanted a treat, and the owner was too busy with customers. And this parrot was well trained, could talk, and welcome the customers as they entered the store. And this parrot was very, very, very smart. But on this one day, everybody say one day, a couple had walked in the pet shop, and the parrot was angry and said to the lady, who was very homely looking, "You are so ugly, man. You are the ugliest thing I have ever seen. And you're homely too." She said, "Excuse me?" He said, "You heard what I said. You're ugly and you're homely." And the husband said, "Excuse me?" He said, "I'm talking to your wife. I ain't talking to you. I'm telling you that your wife is the ugliest, homeliest thing I've ever seen." Well, that didn't sit very well with the couple. And it offended the couple, and they complained to the owner what was said. And the owner goes and takes the parrot by the neck. And he slaps that parrot around. Feathers are flying. He slapped him and hit him. And he said, "Don't you ever, ever say that again to any of my customers. You got it. Don't even look like you're going to be saying anything." The parrot tried, got himself together, put it back on the perch. But on the way out, the parrot's staring at the woman. Her looking at the parrot that was staring at her said to the parrot, "What?" The parrot said, "You know what." See, even our thoughts are under training, huh? Church, listen, some of you have been craving, and there you've been crying, "Lord, please show me my heart and reveal my heart to me and let me see me through your eyes." When God begins to reveal, it's not a very pretty sight, is it? As we thought. And our hearts being revealed, and the Holy Spirit is turning up everything, and we are not as holy as we thought we were. Huh? And God says, "That attitude is not acceptable. You change it." How many of you know we have power to change our attitude? We don't have the power to change our heart, but we can change our attitude. Amen to that? See, let me tell you this in closing. Your pastor many times has had to fall on her knees and say, "God, please forgive me. I can't believe that that just came out of my mouth, or I acted that way. Holy Spirit, arrest me. Don't allow me to get by with that." And he will respond to you if you will listen. Trust me, you won't. Huh? Because when the Holy Spirit begins to show us our hearts, we will often find old hurts still there. Come on. Jealousy, envy, strife, competitiveness, pride, moodiness, bitterness, fault finding. We could go on. Lurking somewhere in the chambers of our heart and in the chambers of our imagery, because we've not dealt with it. We've not allowed the Holy Spirit to go in and turn the fire up and say, "I'm going to burn all that out if you'll let me." "Well, that's my only defense, God." No, it's your crutch. Huh? So we got to find God saying, "So you want to see what is in your heart? Well, hang on, honey. You'll be shocked at what's in there. I'm going to reveal the revelation of you to you. I'm not going to do that to condemn you, but to free you and cleanse you. I'm going to turn up the fire, Brother Gary. And if you will let me melt you into one," hear me now, "with your brothers and sisters," watch me now, watch me, "there at that time, when I begin to melt you, then I'm going to give you life forevermore." Huh? "And the blessings will start to flow. There is not only going to be a fire around you, but I'm getting ready to build a fire within you." And he said to me, "The first fire of cleansing that I will send will destroy you. That old sin nature. It will burn up the dross. It will burn up the shaft. It'll purge your floor. It will sweep clean and remove all the debris. For I am an all-consuming fire." Are you listening to me? "Then I will move into a deeper in your life. And a fresh fire of my Holy Spirit will ignite you to go out and do the work that you were called to do." Huh? "When I finish this," the Lord said, "I'm not through. I want to give you a prophetic word that he gave to me. And I began to type it out. And as I did, it began to confirm what the Lord had been saying in this place and over the internet as God is moving into churches that have a vision and will allow Him to be Lord. And here's what He said, and I typed it out. He said, "Then I'll use you and set fires across the land to where I send you. This land has not seen my revival fires yet that is coming. You have had a taste of revival here and there, but the next one will sweep nations, for I desire none to perish. But a real revival must come to your life first. Then I can be in you rivers of life that will flow out to others." Are you listening? This is a prophetic word from the Lord. "There will be a quickening in your midst, a miraculous move of my spirit in your midst. I will bring rain in desolate places here. Those desert places in your life will spring forth with new life and flowers and springs of water. Not only individually, my daughter, but corporately in this place. When you allow me to do the work in your life, I will be with you and in you a well-watered place, a fragrance, a freshness, so others can find pasture." Are you hearing me now? And so God said, now watch. Now watch what happens in this closing. Now God has awakened the hearts, and the hearts are ready to receive from Him fresh vision, fresh anointing. And they are now going to operate in our hearts and minds as we become unified. Without unity and allowing God to do things in our lives, and I'm talking as a pastor, you're not going to grow. You'll just stay there and spin your wheels. And the enemy will attack, and he'll attack, and he'll attack, and pull your resistance down, and pull your resistance down, and he'll attack through your family, not realizing what they're doing. They don't even realize what they're doing because they're being attacked. But when we stand and say, "You know, Lord, you turn that fire up in me," like I said before, we want everybody else to change, and God says, "No, I want to change you first, and then watch other people change." Huh? And sometimes we've got to stand. We've got to stand regardless. I know sometimes it gets frustrating, but every time those frustrations come, listen for church, every time they come, if you'll realize that God is allowing that to come, so you'll be stronger and stronger because you're not going to fall over that thing again. Does that make sense? Once you get it, I don't care, hell can freeze over and you're not going to budge because you may be the only life source to your family. Huh? You may be the only life-giving source to your family. And if you're fresh in God, they'll come and they'll drink. Come on. Do you know we're trees that can come, people can come and lodge and eat from the fruit of our life? And it doesn't happen overnight. Listen. Don't go out here and say, "Well, man, I've got to change." No, the quickest thing, the best way to put a slap in the devil's face, listen to me now. The quickest way to slap the devil in the face is when somebody has done you wrong or you've done something wrong and you go quickly and say, "You know, I miss God and I'm so sorry. That was not what I meant to come out, or that's not what I meant. My talk, my reaction. Well, what if they don't forgive me?" That's not your problem. That's theirs. Oh, you understand? It doesn't matter whether they forgive you or not. We don't have to carry their burdens. Huh? We don't have to carry them. The cross will carry them. The blood of Jesus will carry them. And the more you pray and call upon the blood of Jesus and the finished work of the cross over that person or over that whatever you're having to deal with, the faster God can move in because you're not their Holy Spirit. And I'll guarantee you God will deal with them. Amen.